This is the Goalkeeper Roundtable, hosted by Dr. Bill Steffen, with Jeff Shook, George Costellas, and Dave LaTourette.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Goalkeeper Roundtable. In today's episode, we invite Phil Poole to pull up a chair. Phil is our USA Women's National Team goalkeeper coach, but has been involved with our national team programs at the youth level for the last 10 years. Phil most recently was the associate head women's soccer coach at Wake Forest University, but also carries with him other national team and professional level experiences, as well as collegiate experiences with him. We didn't have as much time as we would have liked with Phil, but we'll probably get him back to the table again if he'll be willing to do so. But sit back, relax, and enjoy today's episode with Dr. Bill, GK, Shooky, Lotto, and the real Phil.
All right. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. We are very excited as we have Phil Poole from the U.S. Women's National Team goalkeeper coach here with us today. I'm double excited as Phil is a Wingate University alum. So I've got that in my back pocket as well. So Phil, welcome. These are the fellows. Fellows, give them a shout.
Phil, George Costellas, pleasure to meet you, my friend.
Jeff Shook, good to meet you.
Hey, Phil, Dave LaTourette, Good to have you on the show.
I appreciate the invitation, and I've listened to a couple. It's one of those that I've enjoyed and laughed and nodded my head and scratched my head. So I'm looking forward to where we go. So thanks for having me, fellas.
All right, cool.
I'm glad somebody's laughing with us, not at us.
Yeah. Hey, if you can't kid yourselves, who can you kid? It's an old Barth Kimball line. One of the things that we were kind of figuring out questions to go with, and it's kind of, especially under the focus that you're going to be under, dealing with different personalities. Goalkeepers are all different personalities. Just the people in this session are different personalities. But how do you manage to work with the different personalities that you have to deal with in those circumstances?
Yeah, I think... First and foremost, right, I don't want to throw out coaching jargon. Right? I don't like it, and it bothers me. But part of my role is I'm a facilitator, right? And I'll give you a bit of a long answer, is that everyone's different. Everyone's got a different mindset. Everyone's got a different quirk to their personality. A big part of my job is to figure that out quickly, to adapt to it and to make it fit and to align it with kind of what we want to do. And some of that is on the fly as they come in, as you get to know them. And some of that is a little bit of research, a little bit of time spent up front. But I think if you spend your time trying to make someone conform to this way or that way, and this is how it's got to be, I think it's a lot of time that's spent wasted. I think part of the quality, part of what makes our team great, part of what makes them so unique is all the personalities, all the differences in the players, the different personalities, the different viewpoints, the different everything. So for me, I feel like you have to get to know them as people quickly. You have to get their trust quickly. You have to give them some insight, right? I mean, one thing that I think, you know, folks underestimate is while these players are at the top of their game and while they're world-class athletes, they want to be coached, they want feedback, they want to be better. So I feel like all of that comes into it, and it's just figuring out who they are as people, what drives them, what they don't like, what they do like. And I think the trust part is big. I think part of that is just being honest and open and there for them. And the other part is, because they're world-class athletes, is I think you have to put on a good session for them. You have to put on good video prep for them. You have to put on good feedback for them. You have to give them everything you've got. So I think that combined, I think that kind of helps it. And, you know, you can only put your best foot forward. So different personalities, I think, are part of our strength. And I just think you have to get to grips with them quickly.
Yeah. And obviously they have to be aware. Everybody's got to be aware, both the athlete and the coach, you know, that our goals are the same. Yep. We don't have different goals. We all want to win. and we want to get our great performances. And I want to get a great performance out of you. You want to give a great performance. So making sure the players understand that.
I said a lot, Bill. I say things like, listen, as the goalkeeper coach, it's like the guy that sets the stage up for the band, right? We get no plaudits, and we know that, and we're fine with that. But I say to our goalkeepers, I win if you win, and I think that's the only payback we get. It's the only good stuff is that when our goalkeepers get the pat on the back and all that stuff. So for me, it's like, you know, there's no winning for us unless the goalkeeper's winning. So it's
but that pat on the back you talk about, that's very satisfying as a coach, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah, very true. Very true. Lotto, you have something.
Yeah, just to go with that idea that the different personalities that come to you, but they're also coming and going. They're coming to you, then they're going back into a club environment, a professional club environment, coming back in and out. So how do you, or maybe how do they as goalkeepers handle maybe what the type of training they get in their club environment? Is there a conflict in philosophies at all? Or do you ever have to deal with conflict in philosophy? Because, you know, I've been in an environment like that where, and, you know, George has worked, maybe we work in an Olympic development sort of arena or an elite program where kids are coming and going from their clubs, and they hear one thing in their club and one thing, at a higher level. Do you run into that at all? And, you know, hopefully as professional athletes, they manage that better than a, you know, 14 to 17 year old, you know, male or female might.
Yeah. So I've got a kind of long answer, right? Is I actually just got off a call with our NWSL goalkeeper coaches. And it wasn't for show, right? I put the list of their names, which clubs they're attached to. And as I'm sort of presenting, I'm like, listen, that list is impressive, right? The people that are overseeing the day-to-day development of our national team goalkeepers and the goalkeepers in the league, for that matter, seems to get better and better every year from the importance that clubs and GMs put on that, from just the straight quality of the goalkeeper coach, their coaching background, their playing background, their knowledge base. It's phenomenal when you look at that list on paper. For starters, I feel like the everyday environment of our elite female goalkeepers is improving and has improved no end in the last 10 years. And I'll give you another little... So it used to be, and I don't want to speak for anyone, but just in discussions, that you would be in a national team environment. The national team environment would be, you know, 25% more days than maybe it is right now. And you'd work here and for your club, you'd get some games and you'd do some stuff, but it was really, and that's almost not quite flipped, but it's much more palatable right now, where what you do in your club on a day-to-day environment is what gets you in to a national team environment, national team camp, and to many degrees, what keeps you there. So to get back to the first part of your question, I don't know with elite world-class goalkeepers, okay? So I look at maybe goalkeeper A and say, these are her qualities. This is what makes her world-class. These are the things that she does on a daily basis in these games that win points, that put in good performances for a team. My job is to kind of enhance that and just tweak those things to fit our system. And then she goes back to her club. So it's not my job to say a national team goalkeeper has to fit this mold, otherwise it's a no, because then I've got goalkeeper B who has different world-class tendencies, different parts to a game. So we do see it. There's a little adjustment period there when they come back into camp, because the pace is generally a little bit higher. The training sessions are so high pressured and high paced that there's a little adjustment maybe from the pace of a NWSL club game to a national team practice. But I do deal with these differences. But I think I see my job as saying, I'll take your differences and Bill's differences and I'll tweak them to fit our system. I don't necessarily bring a goalkeeper and say, you have to fit this, this, and this, or it's a no, or you have to fit this mold. So I see myself as, again, using my comment from before, if you win, I win. So it's not a case of me breaking you down and splitting all your layers off to make you do what we want. It's like, how can I bring your best out in our environment? So I do see it, but I also think, you know, I think it seems to me my approach is the most common sense approach that I can think of to make that work.
So that would be the same with a forward. If you've got two different forwards, they're not going to be the same. So we seem to accommodate forward personalities, maybe the variety in outfield players' personalities versus the goalkeepers. Perhaps we just need to be aware of that as well. That's a good point.
So you're just saying you've got a Dremel tool and you just take a little off here and add a little bit there, just enough to fit the big machine.
Just clean enough. I like that. I'm going to use that, by the way.
Perfect.
Jeff, you had something.
Yeah. So have you ever run across the situation where you found a goalkeeper whose profile at the club level is just fantastic, but the fit with the national team or the national program, there's just not an organic blend and they just are never going to fit in?
I can't say definitively yes, but I'll give you a different. Since the mid 80s, right? To be fair to the pool, I think we've had four mainstays in our team, right? Harvey, Scurry, Solo, and Naya, right? And if you look at those mainstays and then maybe the games that others have got around them, like Molinex, and some people have hit that 50, you know, Barnhart hit that 40, 50, 60 cap kind of, right? So it's not that they don't fit. It's just that, you know, we have goalkeepers that are standing on their head in the league. It doesn't necessarily automatically translate into, hey, come on in. You know, I think we have a bunch of goalkeepers right now that could all compete for the one job for our team. So it's not a case of doesn't directly fit. It's now, hey, great job for the club. Now you have to come in and do well, and you have to be better than these three, which is no kind of easy task, right? So I'm sure there's been countless examples of that goalkeeper over the years. But again, if you look at the line share of these games for the last 3.5 decades, they've gone to four main goalkeepers. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's a bad thing. Maybe it's a good thing, but that's what it is. So yeah, I think there's goalkeepers now that win points for their teams on a weekly basis that aren't playing for our national team. And, you know, it's important that we let them know, hey, we see you, we're tracking you, and we're going to find opportunities to bring you in. But now when you come in, you have to now be at this level and you have to raise to our standards and you have to beat these three goalkeepers. So it's not, there's some style things and some technique and there's some style of player that goes into that would make them a better fit or a worse fit. But it's no easy feat getting time for our women's national team. And that's not just under me or the last coach, that's under every coach going back to Anson and Tony and all those people.
Yeah. It's interesting because, again, I did quite a few things with Mary Harvey, and I don't think she'd mind me saying this, but she's not the most outstanding athlete athletically, but she just had an outstanding mentality, and that was her strength. Kind of like when you were addressing the different personalities before, that was her strength. And I think each of those others have different strengths. So it's been those four that you mentioned haven't been clones by any means of each other. So yeah. George, did you have something?
Well, you answered it a little bit earlier, Phil, but I was just wondering about your role as goalkeeper coach. What are some of the other roles that you take on in this position? Is it involve the scouting? Is it just you do anything with the set pieces, or is it just specifically goalkeeper coach? And on top of that, how much interaction, or I would say communication, do you have with the other pro goalkeeper coaches around the professional league?
Yeah, so in terms of day-to-day, we've got a very specific way that we want to communicate with our players, right? So we don't want 15 voices. So generally, we have a system where myself and the other assistants, we team Milan up. So Milan's our head assistant. So we will all have input in the set pieces. We'll all talk about them. I'll take the lead with certain set pieces, whether it be defensively or whatever. And we'll come up with that plan. We'll spend a lot of time, which I currently am right now, on our She Believes opponents. And we'll get them to a point that Milan will present to the group. It's very important that we've not got a million voices. Then from a scouting standpoint, same thing. The scouting staff, the other assistants, and I will package this together. It'll go to Milan to present to the team. So it's a group effort. Mm-hmm. It's and you know, obviously Vladko is the main voice in our group, but we have a very, very efficient system right now whereby we all pull a fair bit of weight with everything. There's nothing really that I wash my hands of, and you do that and we do that. So underneath, we put a lot of hours in to make sure Vladko has the information he wants, and we try and flow that through Milan, who is a football mind through and through, detail oriented. So for us, it's great to push that stuff as a group think to Milan, and then it goes from Milan to players generally. But the boss has his voice, and that's the most important one. The second part would be like I said earlier, I just got off a call earlier this afternoon with our NWSL goalkeeper coaches. I speak to all technical staffs, sometimes head coaches, mostly assistant coaches and goalkeeper coaches. I speak to all of our players, whether they're foreign or abroad. And again, it may be a goalkeeper that has potential to get into a pool 4 years from now, but just that little, hey, we're watching, I see you, keep doing what you're doing, that just gives them that little job. But, you know, even with the goalkeeper coaches today, right, it's just about to, we're about to start preseason on February 1st, so just getting them all together, giving a couple of them some crap about their haircuts or whatever. Not everyone can have our haircut, George, you know. That's my preferred haircut that you've got. But, absolutely. You know, just getting them together, seeing everyone on the same page. Because what I explained today is, you know, if there's been, you know, on average, four goalkeepers have been in our pool for the last 4 years, so maybe six different goalkeepers, but on average it's three or four. Mm-hmm. Well, I find myself speaking to those four mainstay coaches the most, as opposed to, hey, even if you've got a Canadian one, I still want to speak to you. I still want to see how you're doing. I still want to see how your number two is doing. So I spend a lot of time speaking to coaches. And to be honest, there's some that I'll bounce stuff off of and say, hey, what's your thoughts on this? Have you done much of that? Do you know much about her from a different club? So I love getting that perspective. So I spend a lot of time talking to the coaches. I spend a lot of time talking to college coaches because, again, I still want to play an active role in our 23s and our 20s and our 17s. It's important that I think I just don't agree if I'm taking my eyes off the development side of things. It may not fall on me, but I want to know where we are, where we stand, who's got a chance, all that stuff. So I do spend a lot of time talking to college coaches, technical staffs, goalkeeper coaches in the works. And as a staff, I think we've got a pretty efficient model right now that seems to work for us.
Cool.
Philip, that leads to a good segue, because I was going to ask, how much influence do you have now in the development, kind of like up the chronological ladder?
Well, it's I'll give you my 2020 answer, right? So obviously Youth World Cup's paused, youth programming paused. I've got this wonderful spreadsheet laid out where I felt really empowered, and it was great from Kate Margraff, the GM, which by the way, she's doing a fantastic job in terms of integrating and making sure that we're on the same page. And I've been with the program now since 2012 in different capacities. I don't know that it's ever been as fluid and streamlined in terms of our staff, in terms of what we're trying to do. So if you ask me this question in February, I say, hey, we're building different goalkeeper staffs. We're assigning goalkeepers. We're bringing young goalkeeper coaches in. We've got this plan, this plan, this plan. And then all of a sudden pause. So my hope going forward, when the world starts to right itself, is we'll pick that up again. I'd like to think the word you use, Bill, is correct, which was influence. I don't know that I'll be a final decision maker, but in communication with a U23 coach, a 20 coach, and a 17 coach, it's like, listen, here is who I think we need to have in with our goalkeepers. My biggest issue in the past has been the lack of consistency in that, whereby, you know, you have a critical U17 World Cup cycle and they've had four goalkeeper coaches in the space of 8 months. And, you know, I think that's a gap in development that we can't afford to keep having. Now, it's not as simple as this is our guy, because if I come to you, Bill, and say, hey, will you look after our 17s for this cycle? Most people say yes. And then the second conversation is, well, actually, March, I know I said yes, but, and then there's this. And all, it's so hard to find that person, because you can't use the pro coaches, you can't use the college coaches because you can't get them all the time. You can't use the youth coaches because a lot of the times their bosses won't let them go for extended periods of time. And then the question is, do you use a combination of? So influence, yes. Final decision, I think that's up to our head coaches of those teams, who they feel comfortable with and who works for their personality. But I'd hope to continue influencing the selection and the selection of coaches in those groups.
Good.
A
lot of the Jew or something.
Yeah. Two questions, and one's about the development side, but going back to you talked about, you know, scouting and, you know, that aspect of your position. And I brought this up in a previous podcast when I talked about the evolution. We're talking about, you know, particular styles of goalkeepers, and we've always, as goalkeepers, evaluated and watched, strikers we as goalkeepers have always watched strikers and look for their tendencies. But do you see, within in the national program, do you have someone And is it you that is particularly looking, let's say you're looking at goalkeepers, opposing goalkeepers, and helping your strikers break down their tendencies or their deficiencies or their strengths and playing, you know, to or against those in any way?
So, yeah. So the simple answer is, yeah, for our opponents, we do. We spend a lot of time looking at things. So, you know, all the fancy stuff, your heat maps, your you know, the areas and all that stuff. Like, for example, when we played the Netherlands, we did a lot of scouting on Viv Miedema, I think one of the best nines in the world, right? And looking at where she scores her goals from and all that good stuff. And we put a lot of work into this player, and then she pulls out of the game 2 days before and has a grunt on, right? So, but yeah, we do a lot of stuff, even as detailed as how quick that release is, the time, the pace of runs and shots and stuff. So we put a lot of time into that. You know, as you get down into that youth kind of development area, it's a little bit harder to do. It's a resource issue, right? It's a, you know, does program A or B have the resources to do that? Do you have enough contact time with the goalkeepers to actually do that? So again, looking at maybe the, like you mentioned, the ODP model, right? You know, you generally, even at regional camp, you're going to have 5.5 to 6 days to really get something done. Then you've got to prioritize where those things fit, what you need to keep, what you don't need to keep. So we do a lot of it with our goalkeepers and profile strikers, and we do it for our strikers with opponent goalkeepers.
Okay, yeah, that was the biggest thing I was looking at, because I think nowadays as goalkeepers we can help our team's strikers, yep, by helping break down the other team's goalkeeper. So that was good. So, and it's, yeah, the second piece is, and you don't have to make this too long, is, and I propose this to Bill as a question as well, is that, you know, for our 13 to 17 year old developing females, are there things that you would like to see that age group work on? Because they're at a point of physical maturation, physiological maturation, chemical changes in their body. Is there something that our females in that age group, maybe different than our males, can and should be working on to improve themselves as athletes?
Yeah, so I don't look at us. I know there are differences, okay? I don't treat anyone any different in terms of male or female. I never have in the development phase. I've been fortunate, even with the youth goalkeepers, that I've managed to have, you know, 3 or 4 youth national team boys, 3 or 4 youth national team girls, where I've never treated them. I don't think of them differently. I don't train them differently. I don't use different pace. Now, when scouting, I would say the one thing that I think sets goalkeepers apart, young female goalkeepers apart, is when they have a feel for the game, I think it puts them in a different category altogether. So you're naturally going to go to a showcase event and watch a great shot stopper, a kid that can distribute and kick it a mile, a kid that can come and punch or catch a corner or a cross. Brilliant. But then there's that next piece to say, is that club, is that coach, is that environment teaching our player the game, starting positions, what they say, how connected they are to different lines, you know, just that feel for the game. And then what starts to happen with the feel for the game is then the decision making changes, right? So anyone can save a shot where the forwards at the right side of the box and it's a nice angle, but then the decisions on footwork, positioning, how high, when to come. So I feel like when they're learning the game, they excel, because, you know, I think we see it far too often, more so maybe in the youth girl side, is we see these great potential goalkeepers, size, quickness, strength, smashing balls, 60-yard shot stopper. But it's very rare, and it's a thing of beauty when you see a kid that understands and gets the game and communicates the game and makes decisions based on those things. So for me, as you guys are well aware, the experience on this call is ridiculously, you know, it's ridiculously good, is that I feel like over the last 10 years, you know, the YouTube generation, boys are starting to watch the game, and you can speak to a group of boys and they'll tell you not just about Messi and Ronaldo, but they'll go 6 or 7 deep on these teams now. I still don't think our young girls are quite there in terms of watching the game, learning the game, knowing about games and all that stuff. So that's my answer. It's a long answer, and you said you want the short one. I feel once they've got a feel for the game, even an average goalkeeper that has a feel for the game, I think she can outperform her competition hands down.
And I think amongst ourselves quite a bit about reading the game and understanding the game and knowing when a quick distribution is the proper thing, knowing when, okay, you know what, let's catch our breath a second. And players that can do that are great. Jeff, I thought you had something. So
yeah, I'm just going back to the point you made about having four goalkeepers over the course of the last, you know, 5 or 6 World Cup cycles take the lion's share of the games. How much consideration do you guys put into the age of the goalkeepers in the pool so you don't get caught with 3 goalkeepers who are close to the same age and all age out at the same time?
Yeah, I think it's a discussion that's had. It's a discussion that you have to have. It's never quite plug in, you know, to a spreadsheet, this age, this profile, right? I think that at any given time, you know, we're on the hook for winning world titles. And we always have been. So we get the luxury of having a great player pool and great resources. But at the same time, the expectation for us is not second. It never has been. So if it just so happened that all 3 goalkeepers are 38 years old, because they're the best 3 that we need right now to win a world championship, then potentially so be it. Obviously, you look at that 3 position and that's your out. Like, I believe I'm correct in saying in a youth World Cup or a regular World Cup, I don't think we've ever subbed on the 3rd goalkeeper. Which that may not be a mind-blowing statement, but that's the one you have some leeway with. That's the one that you've got the ability to maybe experiment with. And then the other part is, if you look at maybe different parts of a cycle, where are the opportunities to blood in a young goalkeeper? Where are the opportunities to find them some time? How much of a trade-off is that versus the continuity and the rhythm of that one that you know deep down is probably going to try and win you that world title? It's an equation. It's never easy. It's definitely something we talk about. It's definitely something we look at maybe from camp to camp. But there's no hard and fast formula. It's a tricky one. And I hope I get it right more than I get it wrong.
George, what do you got?
Well, really, I mean, I know we're pressed for time a little bit, but at the same, we obviously have an audience that isn't working with the best of the best, and you've been around the block, obviously, Phil, and you have tremendous experience. To some of our goalkeeper coaches that might be listening, in having, you know, having the insight that you have, what would you kind of potentially say would be a good area for development for these, like something that you've recognized that you can share with our audience that they might be able to focus on? Because I know you just touched on a key ingredient about understanding the game, but not everybody has those resources.
Yeah, I think for me, it's that reality-based situation, right? And I think that there's a little bit of a disconnect with that sometimes, because maybe you have the goalkeeper coach that says, well, I can't produce that without field players and all that stuff. I think they may be right to some degree, but with a group of 6 goalkeepers, you can force goalkeepers into making decisions. You can replicate situations that are more realistic than you and a ball. So I think that that's a key. To what degree you have the ability to take that, I think, again, I had to throw out jargon, it comes down to your education as a coach. It comes down to your experience as a coach. It comes down to your willingness to try and fail as a coach. So I think you have to create those situations that are as real as the game will let you be. And look, even me, we all still have a session where we love a volley at the near post, move to the angle, take a ball down right, get up, make the third. I mean, it's part of what we do, and there's a method to it. It's we all still enjoy it, but I think you have to marry that and in with making these kids make decisions, not just, you know, the most basic ones, but in a kind of a sense of the game. And I think asking them why, right? Mm-hmm. Asking, well, why would you do that and not that? You tell me. It doesn't have to be my voice. What did you see there? Or if this were to happen, what choices could you make? And I think those type sessions, those type coaches, I think, produce good goalkeepers. And there are a lot of them about, George. I see little pockets of the country that continually produce good youth goalkeepers, you know, that they're putting them in situations. And, you know, like I said before about NWSL, right, you look at the quality of goalkeeper coaches in there and the resources that clubs are putting in there, but you also now start to look at the youth game, not just the elite youth game kind of funded and pushed by MLS, but you look at some of these clubs now, I would argue to say we probably have 100 plus full-time director of goalkeepers in the country. That could be 300 or 400. I could be way off with that. Mm. but the resources and the investment in the position are starting to pay off. I do think we need, you know, more more people leading the charge, like Phil Wedden's leading a big charge right now with education and pushing and getting a lot of traction, rightfully so, because he's one of the best. And I think that next part now is to steer and educate these coaches into how to create the situations I'm talking about.
I love the questions. Question I would always ask is what were you thinking? What were you thinking in that moment? You know, occasionally I'll get the ones, I don't know. You know, I don't know what I was thinking. But but those kind of conversations, I think, are really how the goalkeeper and the goalkeeper coach educate themselves about the position. Lauro, I jumped in.
I was going to lead to that, but you talked about the pockets of the country and, you know, in the clubs. And Shirky may have a better answer in terms of full-time, you know, directors of goalkeeping. But I would venture to guess that clubs that – I won't say invest, because you have to believe in the value of your goalkeepers and your goalkeeper within your program and your coach within your program. That has to start at the top and have a philosophy that the goalkeeper is important. And I think once that is established, and Jeff has spoken to that once that's established and they say, we want good goalkeepers, we want a goalkeeping program, then it starts to flourish. But until that happens, it's just, from my perspective and what I've seen, it's all over the place.
Yeah, it is. Great, Phil, we appreciate your time. This has been great, very fun for us to hear from you and your perspective on things. It's been great. Well, guys, so we appreciate your time.
I appreciate you guys having me on, and Bill, I'd love to come back on at some point. I know that I've been up and down with camps and in and out and all that stuff. But listen, again, I've changed my philosophy on a lot of these things. All I can do is give you my opinion and give you my thoughts. I don't know that it's right. I don't know that it's wrong. I know what I know, and I have no idea what I don't know. So for me, it's just trying to help goalkeepers, whatever level, try and improve and try and get the best out of them. And if I can give some sort of insight along the way, which is scary proposition sometimes to anyone, then I'll be more than glad to help. Bill, thanks for having me, fellas. Thanks. I appreciate it. And we'll speak soon. Okay.
Bill, thanks for your time and great haircut.
Thank you.
Good luck.
We hope you enjoyed that episode at the Goalkeeper Roundtable. If you'd like to reach out with suggestions, comments, or questions, all of our email addresses are available in the show description. If you like the show, we'd love for you to subscribe to it, but also share it in social media platforms or with any other goalkeeper or coach who may find value in it. We hope you turn in to the next Goalkeeper Roundtable.